This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that this final nation, this final ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the ummah of balance. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a balanced nation, a nation between two extremes. And the commentary on this concept of ummatan wasata, a balanced or moderate or middle path nation, goes as far back as the time of the companions who were explaining and taking what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching. And generally speaking, we find that there's an application in every area of life just from this one part of one ayah. A moderate nation, a balanced nation, is one in which the followers of that final messenger accept all the prophets of Allah and do not reject any of the prophets. Unlike some of the tribes of the past, unlike Bani Israel. In addition, this nation of the final ummah until the end of times does not take its final prophet to be divine, does not worship that prophet, unlike the Christians. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He refers to us as ummatan wasata, there are also applications we can take and to ask questions about what is a balanced Muslim, so that every day of your life, whether you're studying, working, parent, married, single, does not really matter, old and young, all around the world, until the end of times, that we understand what it means to be a balanced Muslim. Not just with the context of this ayah here, but with everything that you do. Now, most Muslims, when they hear the many ahadith about not being extreme in ibadat, extreme has a definition and it's not your opinion or mine. When they hear this, they might think, well, I don't think most Muslims will relate to that. What are some examples of this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna hadha ad-din yusr." Indeed, this religion, "Inna hadha ad-din yusr," meaning this religion is one of ease. So automatically, if you were to take this out of context, you might think, well, salah is difficult, therefore I'm not going to pray. Fasting is not easy on my body, therefore I'm not going to fast. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to a very specific thing. So pay attention to that thing, to that very context, so that you're not misunderstanding. Many Muslims will take these ahadith and say, be easy, be easy. And their son, their daughter, their spouse are saying, I'm just trying to read 30 minutes of Quran. I'm not being an extreme Muslim. When we misunderstand these ahadith, we will fall into the other extreme. And the other extreme is where most Muslims fall, which is what? A lack of balance, meaning a lax or a sense of being lax when it comes to ibadat, that we are not doing enough. And yet we think, well, it's because things have to be easy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, the one who goes to extremes in ibadah, in religion, will be overcome by it, meaning they will eventually burn out. And there is a concept of burning out. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَسَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا وَيَسِّرُوا. And there's a context to this hadith. So seek what is appropriate and come close together as much as you can and receive glad tidings and take it easy. There's a context, pay attention. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded, gain strength by worshipping in the morning, in the afternoon, and during the late hours of the night. Find your success as a believer in worshipping Allah throughout the day and throughout the night. And I'll give you an example of what this hadith might be referring to in modern times. Young man, we knew him from the community a long time ago. One day, suddenly, we see him after a long time of disappearance from the masajid. We see him, he has a long beard. He's wearing a white dishtasha, he's wearing a white kufi, a white hat. High school, college, he's just a completely different person. But it's not that his appearance changed. No, his character changed. Now he was refuting us. Now he said, you guys are all deviant Muslims. You're all bad Muslims. These imams in the community, in the state, in this country, they're all Ahlul Bid'ah, they're all liberalizing Islam, they're all deviant. He's upon the truth and his one or two teachers in the world are upon the truth. So he went to an extreme after being completely disconnected from Islam for many years. And while he was extreme and his ideology was wrong, he was worshipping, he was praying a lot. always in the masajid, always doing acts of worship as far as we could see. And then I didn't see him for a year. One day on campus, I'm walking into the student center to pick up my student ID. And it was at night. And I walk into the student center and there was loud music. There were students there, which is not usually the case. And I'm walking through to where the office is. And one of the students who's there, I guess they were having some meetup. He's going around and he's passing out flyers for a party. And it's not like he's looking at you, saying hi. No, just passing them out. Wherever you are, he'll just come up to you, give you a flyer. And there's a party next week. And I'm looking at this person, long hair, clean-shaven guy. I'm like, where do I know him from? And he comes up to me, he gives it to me, he looks at me, and then he says, Sulaiman. And I know the brother. It's that same brother that I just told you about. It's that brother that suddenly became a very, very, very practicing Muslim. It's that brother that suddenly started refuting everyone. Everything is haram, everyone is ahlul bid'ah, everyone is wrong. He went to another extreme. Like he lost everything that he had been working on. Clean shaven, and I'm not talking here about that, I'm talking about the fact that he had a long beard before. And going from being in the masjid and refuting everyone to handing out flyers for a party. And he was embarrassed, and as he was giving it to me, he kind of like withdrew his hand. He said, oh, it's good to see you, has been a while. I'm like, everything good with you? He said, yeah, alhamdulillah. And I walked away. As though he did not know me from his previous identity. As though he had not been in the masjid for the last 4 or 5 years. As though he had not been that person that suddenly became that super hardcore practicing Muslim. There's a problem here. That oftentimes people do go from one extreme to another, not just with religion. But their personalities are very impulsive. And they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. There are a lot of young Muslims, for example, who don't know why their parents tell them to read the Quran. They know if you ask them, you know, give me an answer, like, what do you think? What's the reason your parents tell you to read Quran and to pray? It's good for us. Do they know why? Perhaps not. Many of them don't know the reason we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the point of life. We live and we die for Allah. We were created for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were created to communicate with Allah through dua, through ibadah. We were created to serve the rights of people around us in society, but most importantly, to fulfill the right of Allah. When we don't understand why we are doing what we're doing, it becomes easier to fall into an extreme of doing too much, you transgressed, you crossed the line, or doing too little. And this is why many people are struggling in their faith. There is a lack of equilibrium, a lack of balance. Understanding what it means. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want you as a Muslim to read Quran morning and night and do nothing else? Of course not. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want you to stay praying Qiyamul Layl all night and never to sleep? Of course not. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want you to fast every single day of the year with no break? Of course not. We know this. And there's a very famous hadith of the three extremists. And three extremists here in terms of their understanding, but they changed, we assume, after this. One of them said, I pray all night and I don't sleep. And these are three people who were trying to disconnect from a dunya. They were learning Islam and they thought they would take it to their standards. So he prays Qiyamul Layl all night and does not sleep. It doesn't matter if his body says I'm tired. Because in his mind, I'm worshipping Allah. This is a good thing. And this is where the intention is one aspect and the action has to be correct on the other hand. The second man said, I fast every single day. And yet we know the best of fasting is the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam. Every other day is the highest standard of voluntary fasting. And the third man said, I don't get married. In other words, I'm focusing on worship for the rest of my life. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam corrected these three men because they've gone to an extreme in their worship. He said, I pray and I sleep. I fast and there are days in which I break my fast, meaning I don't fast other days. And I do get married. فَمَن رَغِبَ عَن سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever does not follow my sunnah, my teachings, is not from my followers. Meaning, this is Islam. Do not go to extremes. Now, with this hadith, most people who hear this say, well, that's not where most Muslims are. Most Muslims are not extreme in the sense that they are doing too much acts, too many acts of worship, or too much in ibadah. Again, if we are talking about the majority of our ummah, no doubt, we are doing too little. We are not doing the bare minimum at times. Sometimes we're slacking off with the things that we know are a basic obligation. These three men were reprimanded. We were taught as well what it means to be extreme. This is one narration of many. And we are taught in other ahadith the most beloved thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved worship to Allah is that which is consistent even if it's small in quantity. The most beloved worship to Allah is that which is consistent. The most beloved worship to Allah is that which is consistent. The most beloved worship to Allah is that which is consistent even if it is small in quantity. This does not refer to the obligations. So you cannot say, I will pray one prayer consistently every single day. No, five prayers. Anything more you want to do that is voluntary in Islam, be consistent long term. Be consistent. That is beloved to Allah. What happens when people set their goals? They wait for certain times in their lives or certain times of the year, or they wait until the Gregorian calendar resets. It's a new year, 2023. Or they wait until the Hijri calendar, new year, Ramadan, Umrah, Hajj, marriage. And they're always setting a time later on to change. They're setting new goals. They're reassessing perhaps the last year. Like many companies do, you assess, how did things go in this organization or this company or this Islamic organization? What is it that we did well? Where are areas of improvement? Likewise, the believer always is auditing himself or herself, always reviewing yourself. What did you do in the last 12 months? What did you do in the last month? But you do not wait for a time in the future to change. That's the difference here. We assess what's happened, but on a daily basis, you have to look and ask yourself, am I a consistent Muslim? There is a bare minimum, a standard every one of us should have, and it is the obligations. We cannot possibly set goals for another year or set goals until Ramadan, which is less than 3 months away. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. May Allah grant us life to Ramadan. We cannot set goals that will cause us to burn out after a month and then you've given up. There's a brother who reached out once and he said, listen, I am extremely busy and I know everyone tells you this, but I need help, just some coaching advice in terms of Quran. That's it. He said, I have so many projects I work on for my company, for this Islamic organization. I have a family that I'm taking care of. And I have this and I have that. He said, but I want to start like connecting to the Quran on a daily basis. He said, here's my schedule. I look at his schedule and I said, you've left no room in your schedule for Quran. And yet you're telling me you want to start reading 2 hours of Quran every day. He said, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where to put it in. I said, but you don't have time that you can put it in. It's not something you're multitasking with. You're not just listening passively while you're driving. You're saying you want to sit down, read Quran for an hour and study its tafsir and memorize for an hour. You're setting a really high goal, but you're starting from scratch. Rather than doing that, my suggestion for the next 2 months, read Quran every single day for an hour. Have something consistent you're building towards before you start doing something that will likely end after a month or two. And he, alhamdulillah, he did that. And he started remaining consistent with his habit. And after 6 months, 8 months, he found himself able to remove something else from his schedule, because at the end of the day, you have to prioritize. And he started reading more Quran, alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time was informed that Abdullah bin Amr, the famous companion, radiallahu anhumah, he said, I've been informed that you pray all the nights and you fast every single day. So you pray Qiyam every night and you fast every single day. Is that true? He said, yes. He said, if you do that, then figuratively here, your eyes will become weak. You'll start to feel bored, meaning from the act of worship. So fast 3 days a month. This will be like the fasting of a year or equal to the fasting of a year. And then he said, but I can do more than that. He's saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to do more than that. 3 days a month, I want to do more. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, then fast like the siyam, like the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam. Meaning what? Every other day. And then basically remain firm upon this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, your body has a right upon you, your eyes have a right upon you, and your spouse has a right upon you. And Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu said, so give everything its due right. Give everything its due time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine you were there sitting in the masjid and you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walk into the masjid, and between two pillars there's a rope. Somebody tied a rope between two pillars. He asked about this rope, what is it? And some of the people responded and said, this is the rope of Zainab radiallahu anha. When she feels tired, she's praying qiyamul layla, she's praying extra prayers. When she feels exhausted, like she can't stand anymore, she holds on to the rope. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, remove it. He said, remove it. Rather, you should pray as long as you are energized. You have the ability to stand. When you no longer have the ability to stand, then you sit and pray. In other words, don't go to extremes, even when you are doing something that is noble. There are many other examples, but not just in terms of salah. Even with sadaqah, one companion who wanted to give all of his wealth in charity, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade it. And then at the end he said half, no. One third, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted it. One third is now a ruling. Permitted it. But even then, make sure you're leaving something for your family. Make sure that you're taking care of the different members of your family so that they are not asking from others. There's balance in terms of advice. To be a balanced Muslim means when you give nasiha to your spouse, to your children, to other Muslims, that you know how to give advice. You know who the target audience is. You know that this person might be struggling with something foundational, aqidah, so you're not talking to them about something that is secondary or third branch of Islam. Rather, you're going to the foundations. You're being very kind. The Prophet ﷺ sent the two companions, Abu Musa and Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, sent them to the area of Yemen to teach about Islam. And then the Prophet ﷺ told them, make things easy for people, meaning don't go to extremes. And constantly, frequently, you would find him teaching the Sahaba, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. Make things easy, don't make them difficult. Make them easy, do not make them difficult. وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. And give glad tidings and don't push people away from religion. Now, having said all of this, once again, most Muslims will hear these narrations and say, yeah, Islam is all about taking it easy. And their understanding is five prayers is too much. Their understanding is falling into haram, engaging in riba in this society, dealing with things that are prohibited. Take it easy. Don't be such a strict Muslim. That's their understanding from these narrations. Rather than taking all of the ahadith, all of the practice of Islam into consideration and saying what? There are areas of Islam in which you are reminded. If you are going to extremes, pull it back in. And if you find yourself transgressing, you have all these reminders to bring you back to a state of balance. And if you are slacking off, if you know you can do better, bring yourself to that middle position as well. There is a middle path. There is what's called moderation. But moderation cannot be defined by myself or by any one of us here. Moderation, to be a moderate Muslim, is not defined subjectively. We are not looking at Western terms, societal terms, political terms. You have non-Muslims looking at us and saying what? Oh, Muslims who pray five times a day are probably extreme. What are you talking about? Five prayers a day is the bare minimum to be a Muslim, the pillar of Islam, of Salah. So three prayers a day, does that make us moderate? Is that their understanding? No, five prayers is the bare minimum. To stay away from the kabair, bare minimum. When you slack off, what do? You go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing Allah will forgive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us those glad tidings. But once again, we are in need of balance. Many people like to do many things. Projects, work, corporate goals and objectives, business objectives, to the extent that most of their time is dedicated in an extreme fashion to chasing after something that is beyond what they need to survive. But then when it comes to their family, they don't see their families. When it comes to ibadat or going to the masjid, they don't go to the masajid. Why? They say, I'm too busy. If you work, work in balance. You spend time with your family, quality time with your parents, your spouse, your children, do so with balance. Sa'a wa sa'a, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time for this and a time for that. But don't do that and also say, I don't have time to seek knowledge. I don't have time to learn about Islam. I don't have time to listen to a 30-minute lecture online. Don't say, I can do everything else in balance. But when it comes to salah and ibadah, yeah, I don't want to be too strict of a Muslim. Take it easy. Take easy until when? We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know if we'll make it to tomorrow. Sun will rise every day until the final day of this world. But eventually a day will come in which we won't be rising. We won't be standing. We won't be talking. That last week you had before you died will have been your final opportunity to worship Allah. The final deeds. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. And deeds are judged by their conclusions. If you want to die in a good state, do not procrastinate for a day that is not guaranteed, but rather take a reminder, a lesson from our many beloved brothers and sisters, family members and others who've departed before us, return back to their Lord, and remember that every passing, every departure is a reason for us to get closer to Allah. It's a reason for us to take it seriously and say, I want to be responsible moving forward, but I want to do so with balance. And in order for us to be balanced, we need to prioritize, number one, prioritize your list of things in life, the things you're after. What is your list of priorities? What are you after first and foremost? And number two, manage your time. Prioritize your goals and manage your time. When it comes to our priorities, we say, All of us as Muslims, we know Allah created us to worship Him. Number one priority should be Allah. Number one priority is the purpose of life. But what we actually do sometimes is we place work as number one, family as number one, entertainment as number one, Instagram and TikTok number one. Everything else of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands comes later. Salah, yeah, later on. Video games, number one. Socializing, number one. Even education. Does not matter what it is. It could be an act of worship, but it does not come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could be that you're with your family for the sake of Allah. You're socializing for the sake of Allah. You're resting even to have energy for the sake of Allah, but it does not come before your top priority in life. Prioritize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will find your affairs rectifying themselves. You will find your affairs coming together in a manner that brings peace to the heart, in a manner that leads to tranquility. And then the second for most people, if it's applicable to you, is your family. And for many people, they don't realize if there is such thing as extremism in ibadah, you've crossed the line, you fast every single day and you never break your fast, you never sleep and you pray all night. There is extremism in that case. There's also extremism in socializing. Sometimes people want to be with family, but it goes to the extent of leading what? To a useless 3, 4, 5 hour conversation, which is a lot of gossip, a lot of backbiting. No ahadith, no ayat, no remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, memories, things that are beneficial. Even when you're with family, do so with balance. The third for many people is their work, education, volunteering, and so on and so forth. The fourth for many people, with all of these in mind, is to maintain your health, to spend time taking care of your responsibilities in other ways, and then friends and society. And later on, entertainment that is permissible. But for many of us, the priorities are messed up, so we wonder, how do I balance between this life and the akhirah? The problem is, it's not that we don't know, it's that we're not prioritizing properly. And once again, after that, it is to manage one's time. Manage your time. Your final destination is what you start with. You say, I want to enter Jannah. May Allah grant us Jannah and all of our beloveds Jannah. Work your way back. What are your goals for the next 5 years, the next 3 months? We have less than 90 days to the month of Ramadan. What are your goals from now to Ramadan? Focus on two or three things in a very, very focused manner. Two or three things, but with consistency. And remove the distractions in your life when you return home or on your phone when you're able to. Remove the distractions that you know are wasting the most precious blessing that you have. And may Allah forgive us. Seek forgiveness from Allah. He wants to forgive. He is the ever merciful. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Anytime you set goals in life or something changes in your life in a drastic manner or the time of the year changes or you enter a new season of life, you've graduated. There are many graduates, alhamdulillah, who just completed their degrees. There are many who are moving on to another phase of life. There are many people who got married recently and there are others who are facing hardships. There are some who have children and there are some who experience loss in their families. We're going through seasons of life. We're going through the cycles of life. And we see it all around us. And we know that we are all living signs and reminders for one another. The best thing you can do is not to start to become desensitized to the things that are happening around you. The best thing you can do is to take a lesson from every sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in your path. Take these lessons, for they will change our akhirah and shape our akhirah in many different ways. So when you set goals, review them often. Hold yourself accountable often and recognize that at the end of the day, the believer lives and dies upon the Quran. The believer lives upon it in terms of its meanings and teachings and dies upon it in terms of its meanings and its teachings. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Let every soul reflect. Think about it every day. Reflect on what you sent for your afterlife. What's waiting for you when you die? What are the things that are written in your record? What are the things you'll see in your grave? Reflect, not so that you'll feel bad and do nothing, no. Reflect so that if you have remorse, channel it to productivity. Channel it to something good. It could be as simple as saying astaghfirullah. It could be as simple as dua in the moment. It could be as simple as saying, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. And do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tomorrow is the day of celebration for the believer. Tomorrow, the Akhirah, is the day of celebration for the believer, especially those who have no accountability because of how much good that they've done. And today, ad-dunya, is the day of hard work. It's not the day of pure relaxation. It's not the day in which we once faced some obstacles here and there. There's so much khayr in our lives, so many blessings that we have. May Allah protect us, alleviate our fears, and guide us and our brothers and sisters all around the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistent and grant us the ability to worship and to be a means of worship for others as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a source of light and optimism for others. Allahumma ameen.